Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Between the Tackles podcast. We're down one today. Our boy Joe couldn't make the episode tonight. We send our best to him, but I am sitting here with my good pal, Manish Mehta. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Between the Tackles podcast. We're down our number one host here, Mr. Joe. As you can tell, I am not Joe. I am Burge. I am still here with our guy, Manish Mehta. How are you doing today, Manish?
I'm doing great, Burge. Can't wait to dig into these power rankings, which the three of us always agree on, right?
As these last few weeks have gone on, these discussions have got contentious in our group chat, and that is to say the least. Has had me at times questioning whether or not I want to participate in this segment with these guys because I'm always on left field. I'm always the outlier over here. But alas, we do come to a consensus every week, and that is what makes this podcast great. So let's just dive right into it. Manish, who is number five on this week's power rankings?
Well, you got a new team entering the fold. Not surprisingly, it's the Buffalo Bills at winners of six in a row. Coming off a 21-point comeback on the road against their division rival New England Patriots. I don't know if you caught the game or not, Burge. Just an epic performance by Buffalo to vault into the top five. Josh Allen, masterful as usual, becomes the first player in NFL history to have 35 total touchdowns in six consecutive seasons. Just an amazing feat for an amazing player. And that stat might be a little bit off. I don't remember if it's six consecutive seasons, but it's certainly the first player to have six seasons with 35 or more total touchdowns. Typically, I'm not a total touchdown guy when it comes to quarterbacks, but I think it's undeniable that Josh Allen is a real threat with his legs and his arm, and he showed that in Foxborough. Just an incredible effort from a team that, frankly, is overachieving in my mind. I know the preseason rankings had them as a Super Bowl contender, but if you've watched this team over the last 3 months, you kind of notice one thing. Josh Allen really has nobody to throw to. These are a bunch of scrubs or borderline players. His best running mate is James Cook. But in terms of throwing the ball, he's thrown to a bunch of nobodies. And, you know, I think ultimately that's going to catch up with Buffalo. Even though it is a wide-open AFC, there is no singular dominant team. But I just don't know how much more Josh Allen can put this team on his back. He's done an unbelievable job to the point where they've won 10 consecutive games now for, what is it, six, 7 years in a row. He's essentially saved Sean McDermott's job for the last several years. But I don't believe that the Bills have surrounded him with enough this season to get to the Super Bowl. I could be proven wrong, but you know, a one-man show is great for entertainment. It's great for regular season wins, but ultimately I don't think it's good enough to win the Super Bowl. But you know, right now at this point in the season, I certainly think they're worthy of being in our top five.
Well, I'll sit here and say, I certainly do not believe that this team will be playing in the Super Bowl come February. Obviously I'm naturally the Bills hater of the podcast. So it's hard for me to sit here and say anything nice about them. They have come back in the second half, two consecutive weeks against, you know, you can say what you want about the Cincinnati Bengals the week before. They did have Joe Burrow back, and they were opportunistic in that game at the end with the interceptions to Joe Burrow. And I would argue that this team was opportunistic again on the road in Foxborough, taking advantage of some very, very, very bad defense by the New England Patriots in that second half. In the first half of this game, it was all New England. You know, we talked about it on the last episode a little bit. The Buffalo Bills, to me, didn't look like they really had changed anything going from the first half to the second half. The Patriots apparently did, as the final score went. If this was up to me, the Bills would be number six on these rankings, sitting on the honorable mention. It's not. You know, you're playing with fire when you're falling behind in the first half to some pretty good teams. And, you know, that's a recipe for disaster when it comes time to play playoff football. And I think that is ultimately going to kill this Buffalo Bills team. And to be honest with you, should be the end of Sean McDermott if they do not make the Super Bowl this year, considering that Patrick Mahomes is not going to be in the picture, Joe Burrow's not in the picture, and there's a good chance that Lamar Jackson will not be in the picture as well come into the playoffs. So arguably this is the year. If they're going to, they better win the Super Bowl this year of all years, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think there are a couple of teams ahead of them on this list that I think are primed to take them out come playoff time. And I'm going to move it right along to our number four team. And that's one of those teams, a team that has already beat the Buffalo Bills this year. And that's the Houston Texans. This team, for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how scary their defense is, how this is a team that nobody in the NFL wants to play, especially in times where you're trying to either lock up a playoff spot, fight for your life, or fight for positioning in the conference come playoff time. The defense is playing out of their mind. The two-headed monster of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. at for pass rushing is just unbelievable. We saw them do it to Josh Allen on Thursday night a few weeks ago, where they basically annihilated, shut that entire offense down, and not a team that I personally would want my Patriots to have to play in the first round of the playoffs, which is where it would be if the playoffs started today.
Yeah, the defense is scary. I mean, you alluded to that Bills game a few weeks back. They completely neutralized Josh Allen. I think they sacked him a billion times, you know, give or take a couple billion. It was just a dominating performance, and there's a reason why they've won six in a row. That defense coupled with a reborn C.J. Stroud, not the C.J. Stroud we saw as a rookie, but clearly a much better version of the player than we saw earlier in the year. That's a real threat. Is it good enough to get to the Super Bowl? Who knows? But they've beaten some legit teams during this six-game winning streak. Jaguars, Bills, Colts. Chiefs are not in the playoffs, but still, at that point, they were fighting for a playoff spot. They've beaten some really solid teams, and I think with that defense, they're always going to be in games. They've got a layup against the Raiders this week, and then a Chargers team, which will pose some problems, and then probably against a Colts team that's playing out the string. So, you know, they could legitimately finish 11-6. If that's good enough to win the AFC South remains to be seen, because Jacksonville is playing well as well. But, you know, I just think, as you said, it's a dangerous team primarily because this defense is probably playing the best of any team in the league right now.
You know, it's another thing to say is that defense travels too. It's not just home playing defense where they get the crowd behind them and that's where they see their success. It's traveling and they're beating these really good teams. And even the teams that, you know, before this win streak for the Texans took off, they lost to the Broncos and it was a close game. It was a very close game. It was at home, so it wasn't up in Mile High, but it was a close game. So this team is going to be a really tough out come playoff time. All right, Manish, who we got at number three?
We got the same team we had at number three last week, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. They won their fourth in a row despite not scoring a touchdown last week and beating the Colts 18-16. Six field goals gets you a win, I guess, sometimes. And, you know, it's hard
to... Over the grandpa.
Yeah, over Phillip Rivers, yeah. Gutsy performance by Phillip Rivers, but not enough. Not particularly impressive. And, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't been that impressed by the Seahawks in the last month. They've throttled teams, but these teams are not particularly good teams. That being said, you know, 11-3 is still 11-3. And I think that when you look at their division and some of the, you know, the tough challenges that they've had to face this season, the fact that they are 11-3 entering Thursday night's game against the Rams for potentially the NFC West title at stake, you know, says a lot about how improved they are from a year ago. And, you know, I don't know how far, as I said with the Bills earlier, I don't know how far Seattle can go in the postseason. But at this stage, with 3 weeks to go, they're certainly worthy of a top five ranking. And coming off a win after being third last week, we're going to keep them at that spot.
I just want to make sure I heard you right. 11-3 is 11-3, right?
Given the dynamics of who they played and the tough challenges playing in that division, probably the toughest division in football, right? Three teams with 10 wins. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the 49ers have 10 wins, but 11-3 is 11-3. What other team is 11-3?
Yeah, I mean, 11-3 playing in the toughest division in football is really tough to ignore.
Yeah, well, you know, Seattle was a team that I was not high on at all going into this season. In fact, when you were starting to talk about them joining these rankings, I think myself, and I'm pretty sure Joe was in the same boat, where we're like, get them out of here. Like, what are they trying to do coming up this rank? But you're right. They've arguably overachieved this year. I did not expect the Seattle Seahawks as a whole to really kind of take that next step, especially with like JSN really ascending as a wide receiver one, Sam Darnold coming in at points during the season, looking like an elite quarterback and making the Minnesota Vikings kind of kick themselves for letting him walk away. I do share your sentiment with them, though. Not sure how far they can go in the playoffs. It's really going to depend on who they end up facing in that first round. I mean, hey, they pull off the win this week against the Rams. We're talking about them as potentially up there as a number one seed in the NFC, which would be kind of incredible if that were to happen. I don't see it happening, but it would definitely be incredible if that happened there. I'm going to move on to the number two team. And this was a team in our discussions this week. Let me back that up for a minute. This is a team that I laughed at weeks ago. Weeks ago, I was like, get them out of here. They don't have the good quarterback. You know, they have a good defense. They have a home field advantage. But I was like, they're going to fall back to the pack. And it's the Denver Broncos. I had them on my rankings. I wanted them to surpass the Rams given their performance in this last week against the Packers. But they are our number two ranking team, the number one team in the AFC right now. Pretty much a clear path to the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs with the New England Patriots loss on Sunday. It would have to take a kind of a monumental type collapse over the last few weeks of the season for them to give that spot away. I don't see that happening. Mile High is a very tough place to play. Their game against the Packers on Sunday, I was on the other side in our pick segment, which we'll get to in a little bit of this one. Manish was on the right side of this one. And, you know, they took care of business against one of the better teams that they've had to play this year. Cause like the Patriots, the Broncos have not exactly had to face a tough schedule to get to this point. They have won, I believe it's 11 games in a row now. Their defense again, playing lights out. We praise them repeatedly on this podcast about what their defense is. If they're not the best defensive unit in the league, they are number two. It's between them and the Texans for the best defensive unit in the league right now. You can argue both ways on it, but long story short is we know what their defense is. In this game on Sunday, the offense showed up. You know, they still weren't able to really run the ball. You know, they had the injury to Dobbins early in the season, so you're kind of relying on the rookie RJ Harvey up there. But this was a game where Bo Nix decided to say, hey, hi Drake May, hi everybody else out there, I could do it too. Threw four touchdown passes, 302 yards. Looked like an MVP in this game. Looked like the MVP for the one game that he's played. And this has been my question mark with this team is whether or not the offense is good enough. We know what the defense is, but is the offense good enough to really make a run against, you know, say the Patriots or the Buffalo Bills or any of the teams in the conference? And then when you get over to the NFC, the Rams, are they good enough to match that? And on Sunday, they looked like they did. The Packers were on our top five ranking last week as the number five team. And they went in, they took care of business. They took care of business at home. And now they're going to likely have home field throughout the AFC playoffs, which is a huge advantage for the team like Denver playing at altitude.
Yeah, I agree that the advantage is paramount for a team like them, which, as you said, has a great defense, but clearly is flawed offensively. And they get a little bit of a break when you looked at the remaining schedule. Home against the Jaguars, that's not going to be an easy test. I think they'll win that game, but it's not going to be a layup, obviously, with the way the Jags are playing this season. The break they get is on the road on Christmas night against Kansas City. No Patrick Mahomes. That seems to be a fairly easy win for them. I don't see Gardner Minshew beating them. And then the last game of the season, we'll see if that even matters. But a division game against another team that's going to make the postseason in all likelihood in the Chargers. So you're right. You know, barring some kind of collapse here, they probably will end up as the number one seed, which is a massive advantage for them in what is looking like a wide open conference.
Yeah, it just speaks volumes to what the AFC has looked like this year. And, you know, to kind of break it down, I think nobody saw the Patriots, you know, being where they are. I mean, I personally obviously didn't see the Broncos being what they are. The Buffalo Bills have kind of underachieved. You know, we knew the Chargers were good. We were bullish on them very early in the season, you know, with Justin Herbert, and they're right there. Nobody saw the Indianapolis Colts coming early in the season before Daniel Jones got hurt and, you know, what Jonathan Taylor was doing there. So it's been a kind of a weird year for the AFC. And, you know, you look at every team, like we've talked about, there's not one complete team in the AFC. Each one of these teams you could look at that are in the playoff picture and pick out their flaws. You could pick out their flaws, and how do you beat them? Well, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, or, you know, they're weak here. Any team, no matter which one you talk about. So it's going to make for an exciting finish to the regular season and a fantastic AFC playoff run, which is obviously where my mind's at. My team's in the AFC, so I love watching the AFC playoffs. Manish, your team's in the NFC. Let's talk about the NFC. Who's our number one team?
What's been the number one team for the last several weeks? It's the Rams. Back-to-back 40-plus point wins. Not really saying much that they beat the Cardinals 2 weeks ago, but you know, putting up 40 against the Lions in a shootout is not something to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. They do have a first-place game on the line, as we've mentioned, Thursday night in Seattle. If you look at the games after that, they should be two layup wins for the Rams at Atlanta and then home against the Cardinals. An interesting storyline twist is that Devontae Adams in all likelihood will not play Thursday after re-aggravating his hamstring injury. I think they can win without him. Frankly, they don't need a healthy Devontae Adams for, in all likelihood, a month, because they probably will have the bye week. If they don't have the bye week, they won't need Devontae Adams for at least 3 weeks. So that gives them plenty of time to get healthy. I wouldn't anticipate them even risking Adams coming back in the regular season when you're dealing with a hamstring injury, as he had been dealing with for, you know, about 2 weeks now and playing through it. Now that he aggravated to the point where he left the game on Sunday and did not return, probably makes a lot of sense just to shut him down for a few weeks, which makes the Thursday night game that much more fascinating. Without Devontae Adams, will it matter? I mean, my gut tells me that Puka Nacua is going to have, you know, a dozen catches for 150 yards like he seemingly has done for the last few weeks. Should be a fun game. You had mentioned, Burge, the AFC playoff picture, just to kind of backtrack for a second. The AFC playoff picture, I cannot wait. You know, I'm not a fan of any team in the AFC particularly, but I could see the number one seed, which probably will be Denver, getting to the Super Bowl. I could see the sixth or seventh seed getting to the Super Bowl. Nothing would surprise me. And I feel like we kind of have a discussion about the playoffs every year and say, well, it's a wide open NFC or it's a wide open NFC, when it's probably not. There's only a couple teams that could come out of each conference. But for this AFC this season, literally any of the seven teams that get in can make it. I don't think it would be an upset at all for any of those seven teams, whether it's winning two games or three games, getting to the Super Bowl. And that's what makes it so fun. I know there's a lot of drama left for some teams in these final few weeks, but I cannot wait for the AFC playoff picture. The NFC, I think it's a little bit different. I think it's more like what we see every year, where there's probably three, maybe four teams that could legitimately, you know, get to the Super Bowl. But the AFC to me is going to be so much fun. And I know that there's going to be quote unquote upsets where the underdog, you know, wins some of these games, but truth be told, there isn't one dominant team, as we've been saying now for a month in the conference, which is going to make it that much more entertaining.
It's funny that we talk about it being wide open and how all these teams have a shot, but there's only two teams outside of the playoff picture that are still have a shot. And it's the Ravens and the Colts. Everybody else in the conference, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jets, and obviously down the list, they've already all been eliminated.
Right.
So, and for those two teams to actually get into the playoffs, a lot of stuff has to happen. Like the Colts are in big trouble, even if they keep winning. The Ravens have a better shot to get in because they're fighting for the division with the Steelers, obviously coming off that Monday night win last night. Kind of put some distance there. It makes the game on Sunday night at home against New England mean that much more for this Ravens team. If they drop that one, that's gonna that might almost seal the deal for the Baltimore Ravens. But yeah, it's gonna be fascinating to watch. And you know, there's no team like there's no Chiefs hanging around where it's like, oh, the Chiefs might have underachieved this year, but they got Patrick Mahomes, so they're gonna be there at the end. None of those guys are there. And so yeah, it's gonna be fascinating to see. Let's move it along to the fun, in my case this week, horrendous segment of the week. It's the pick segment. I had my third 0-3 of the season. My third 0-3 of the season this week. Joe and Manish both get a leg up and make this thing a tight race. Manish still in the basement, 19-25-1. Joe is 21-23-1. And I sit here at 23-22. So we are all within a game or two of each other. And as you hear these picks come out, there's going to be a lot more movement this week in the standings here. So I'm going to start this off. I'm going to give our boy Joe, I'm going to talk about his picks a little bit here. I'm just going to run through them really quickly. He's got Tampa Bay -3 on the road against the Carolina Panthers. You know, I don't want to give my opinion on it because I think he's wrong, but I got another one. His second pick here that he's got is one I think he's right. And that's he's taking the homer pick this week. He beat me to it. I should have taken it as my first pick, but I didn't. New England +3 on the road against Baltimore. I can talk a little bit. I think the Patriots right to ship in this one. I think he's all over this one. You know, we don't know what version of Baltimore we're actually going to see. They've been very inconsistent with how they've played this year. Lamar's kind of been up and down, been banged up. So we don't really know what version of them we're going to get. But I do expect them to come out and play aggressive and desperate, but I expect the Patriots to bounce back from their loss at home against Buffalo there. You got any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it's a fascinating game because we're going to see a side of Buffalo. I didn't mean to bring up ill feelings there.
Wow.
We're going to see a side to New England that we haven't seen this year, which is how did they respond to a fairly significant loss, not in the first week or two of the season. You know, they've been on such a roll. They've been on heater for 2 months. Now they lose this tough divisional game in heartbreaking fashion. How do they bounce back in prime time? I'm fascinated to see. I'm with you. I would take the Patriots and the points because the Ravens have been just too unpredictable. I know they're desperate. I know that counts for something. But, my eyes can't unsee what I've seen for – most of this season with this team. It's even with Lamar Jackson back, I need to see it to believe it. And while they're desperate, I also do think that we will see a different side of the Patriots team. We're going to see a lot about what the Patriots are made of. It's not, going to be a defining moment for them by any stretch of the imagination. But, when a team loses in the way that they lost to their division rival at home, after essentially riding high for 2 months, you really do want to see how they respond. I think they'll respond well. I would take the points. I think the Patriots are actually going to win outright.
Yeah, that was what we talked about on the last episode, where we finally get to see them face some adversity this season, and they believe they do have an opportunity in this game to clinch a playoff berth. They cannot clinch the division, but they can clinch a playoff berth with a win in this game. So let's see. They blew their opportunity on Sunday to clinch their division. Let's see them lock up their playoff berth here against, when we were looking at the schedule early on when they were starting to win some games, before Lamar Jackson got hurt. Like, this was the game where we're like, this is going to be a tough one. And I still expect it to be a tough one, but I'm with Joe and you on this one, Manish. And Joe's lock of the week is going to be Denver. Denver's -3. Who are they playing? I didn't even have
Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. They're playing the Jaguars. I should have known that. I picked the Jaguars. Oh my God. That's a bad brain fart right there. They're playing the Jaguars. I'm on the other side of this one. I just gloated about the Denver Broncos, but we didn't really talk much about the Jacksonville Jaguars when we were talking about our top five. They are right outside of that. Trevor Lawrence is coming off his 6 TD performance last week. The Jaguars have surprised me this year. I mean, I expected them to kind of be there at the end. I didn't maybe fighting for one of those last wild cards at the end of the season, but they've kind of put some stuff together there under first year coach Liam Cohn. So Joe, I don't like your lock. So, and you remember the bet. You remember the bet from last week where you said, if you don't hit your lock, I get to finally hear from your dog Farley making some picks. So you better hope that that I'm wrong, which good track record if you're going off of last week. But I'm hoping I'm right because I want to see those Farley picks there. So I've done a lot of talking. Before we do my picks, Manish, let's give yours.
All right. I'm going with a really interesting line. The Cowboys, who in all likelihood will be officially eliminated from the playoffs when the Eagles beat the Commanders on Saturday, which I also fully anticipate happening. You know, the Cowboys are not playing for anything these last few weeks. Jerry Jones came out earlier this week and said the team's not going to be in tank mode. They're going to try to win, and they're playing the Chargers. They're giving the Chargers 2 points. The Chargers have a lot to play for. You know, they're a 10-win team, playoff positioning. Maybe there's a small chance that they could win the division, and I don't think they will. I think Denver will, but the point is that they're a playoff team, and the Cowboys are not a playoff team. So why am I giving points to the Chargers? I'm doing it because the Cowboys do this seemingly every season. Anytime there's a big moment, a game that they have to win, they don't. They lay an egg. And when the pressure's off and they're playing out the string, Dak Prescott throws for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns. I'm sure we'll see CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens go for over 100 yards, maybe sprinkle in a couple touchdowns for Javonte Williams. You know, Jake Ferguson probably gets into the act. I'm sure they just completely erupt against the Chargers because that's what the Cowboys have done recently. When it doesn't matter, they light up the stat sheet. When it matters, they shrink. So that's my logic. Just a weird line for Vegas to make the Cowboys, who have nothing to play for, the favorite against the 10-win Chargers team. So give me Dallas. I'm going with probably the most intriguing game of the week, the 7-7 Panthers hosting the 7-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the rights to have first place in the NFC South. The winner would obviously be in pole position. Those two teams play again in a couple weeks, which is an interesting scheduling twist. So it's not over yet, regardless of who wins, but just a fascinating division. I feel like I've been saying this now for like the last 5 to 7 years, where the winner of the NFC South doesn't get double digit wins. It's usually a 9-8 team. And it's usually the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like the Panthers at home. If the game was in Tampa, I'd go on the other side, but being a home underdog, despite the fact that they just coughed it up against the Saints last week, got swept, believe it or not, by the Saints. Half of New Orleans' 4 wins have come against Carolina. So you would say, Manish, you're crazy. Why are you picking a team that just got swept by the Saints? Well, I will say to you that the Buccaneers just coughed up a game in epic fashion against the Falcons. And 2 weeks earlier, they too lost to the New Orleans Saints. So you know, I know that Baker Mayfield always has a revenge on his mind when he goes to Carolina. Feels like he got slighted there, didn't get a real opportunity, probably a fair criticism. And I know that the Buccaneers are getting healthy, but, you know, if you look at the last 2 months, the Panthers have been on a seesaw, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And given that they lost last week, logic would dictate that they're going to win this week. So I think it'll be a fun game, close game. I expect a heavy dose of Rico Dowdle. And Jonathan Stewart in time would be great. A heavy dose of Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard against a Buccaneers defense, which is fairly well statistically against the run. They're 10th in the league. But we did see a week or so ago Bijan Robinson run all over him. I'm not saying these Carolina guys are Bijan Robinson, but I'm also not saying that the Buccaneers run defense is the stingiest in the world. So I think it'll be an entertaining game, a fun game. And when it's all said and done, getting those 3 points will loom large for the Carolina Panthers.
I will say you are crazy, Manish. You are crazy, but you are not crazy for that pick. I was crazy for picking them, last week against those Saints. I was like, I was all bullish on the Carolina Panthers last week. And how'd that work out for me? But I do like this pick. I think that the Buccaneers are kind of leaking a lot of oil right now. You have the coach calling out all the players after last week's loss. It's kind of like the Patriots. It's kind of a moment for them where you find out what they're made of. Can they respond to their coach calling them out after a bad loss? I don't see it happening, especially on the road. And I've liked what I've seen from this Carolina Panthers team, even though they had their backs against the wall in that one.
Yeah, well, look, I got my lock of the week. I've been pretty good with the lock of the week over the last several weeks. In another odd scheduling quirk, the Packers and Bears are playing for second time in 3 weeks. A couple weeks back, the Packers edged out Green Bay, edged out Chicago in Green Bay, 28-21. This time, the Bears get their chance at home in prime time. I hate saying this because it's not fair to Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, and company. I'm just not really a believer. I know that they're 10-4. I know, you know, a few weeks back they ran all over the Philadelphia Eagles for 250 plus yards, and I know that they just destroyed a bad team, but really just toyed with the Cleveland Browns last week. I just think that the Packers are primed to kind of take off here over the last few weeks. They played the Broncos tough in Denver. Bird, you mentioned how difficult it is to play in Mile High. They didn't win that game, but it was, you know, could have gone either way. Fourth quarter game, white knuckler. I think that even though it's rare, especially between two division opponents who are actually good, for one of those two teams to sweep the other in such a compressed amount of time, but I like the Packers. I like the Packers giving the 1.5 points. I mean, there's a reason why Vegas still thinks, you know, given all the dynamics at play, the revenge factor for Chicago, that the Bears are still underdogs at home. I like the Packers. Frankly, I know it was a tight game the first time around. I actually, and you know, we're not going to be judged on this, I think the Packers win by double digits. I think it's that type of game for Green Bay. I'm a big believer in what Green Bay can do over these final 3 weeks. I think they can make some noise. We thought entering the season that they could make some noise. And even though they lost Micah Parsons, which is a massive blow for their defense, I do believe they will go into Chicago. I believe they will win, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but there's something about the Bears, even though they've made significant strides and Ben Johnson should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year along with Mike Vrabel, I don't think that they're a team that in crunch time, in big moments, and that's what this game is, can deliver. So give me Green Bay giving the 1.5 on the road.
Wow. Double digits, huh?
Wow. I have that feeling that this is not going to be as competitive as some people might think.
Ugh. Well, I hope you're wrong. I'm going to go to my picks. And because everybody here has decided to come after the leader, I am picking against both of you in all of my picks this week. And I am taking all underdogs. I'm taking all of the underdogs this week. First pick, I kind of touched on it a little bit when I was talking about Joe's picks, hoping that this pick hits so I can hear from his good pup there, Farley. Jacksonville +3. I like what Jacksonville's doing this year. They're in a, you know, this is a big matchup for them. Playoff implications. The Houston Texans are nipping right at their heels for the AFC South division crown. And, you know, they're coming off the 6-touchdown performance offensively. There's just something about Jacksonville this year where they're not coming back the way that I expected them to. Now they haven't really had much on their schedule over the last month or so. You know, they're playing the Titans, they're playing the Cardinals, they're playing the Jets, they're playing, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. It hasn't been exactly a tough ride, but I like the Jacksonville Jaguars here to kind of make some noise. And, you know, part of this is kind of like an emotional pick, kind of like how Joe alludes to emotional picks. This is me kind of hoping that I'm right so that the Denver Broncos can lose and that my Patriots can have a shot at that one seed again, you know, but I really do like what Jacksonville has been doing, and it's going to be a great matchup to watch Trevor Lawrence and that offense play against that Denver defense. Manish, now it's time to go against you for two picks. I am not going to buy into the whole theory that the Dallas Cowboys can show up whenever the games don't matter and this and that. It is something that a Jerry Jones organization can do because they, at some points, you just can't tell what they're running competent organization down there because they can't seem to put it together. But The Chargers plus two. This team is a playoff team. They are coming off a win. You know, say what you want about the Chiefs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was in this game, and you know, the Chargers went into Arrowhead and won before Mahomes suffered his injury. We've been very big on the Chargers at points, especially early on in the season, with what they're doing there with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. Omarion Hampton is back, and you know, he's getting his legs back under him, coming off injured reserve. I like what they're doing, and I fully expect them to win this game, especially, you know, where there's still an outside chance that they could end up in that division lead, or even, you know, stuff crazy happens playing for the potential for a number one seed. So I don't expect them to kind of have a lay an egg here on the road in Dallas.
Before you get to your last pick, Burge, isn't it curious to you? I mean, I'm a big believer in the Vegas lines makers. I don't know how they do it, but there's a method behind their madness, and I just can't wrap my brain around how a 10-win team, you know, in the thick of the playoff run with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh would be an underdog to a team that has nothing to play for. That to me just jumped out, and that tells me something. And it tells me something that, you know, is beyond my capabilities. I don't understand how they can make the Cowboys the favorite. That tells me that, you know, in a neutral field, the Cowboys are a better team, given all these external circumstances.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that happens, I'm going to be that guy. The fix is in. The fix is in. They knew that Manish was coming for me in the between the tackles pick race, and they decided to come in and destroy me. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to die on that hill. I got to move to my lock of the week because I couldn't believe my ears when I heard you say that the Green Bay Packers might beat the Chicago Bears by double digits, because I was the one on this podcast who was first on the Bears. And I remind you to the end, especially if they go deep in the playoffs, that I was the first one on the podcast that was behind what Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are doing there. You mentioned they came off that tight win, that tight loss against the Packers up at Lambeau just a couple of weeks ago. Last week, kind of a nothing burger game. They're playing, I believe it was the Cleveland Browns. They shut them out. Or not shut them out, but they give up a field goal. They blow them out of the water, which, again, don't really learn much from a team, you know, pulling the mismatch is that large, in my opinion, given where the Browns sit and where the Chicago Bears currently are. I don't know. I'm a big believer. I'm unlike you, a believer in what Ben Johnson is doing there. I mean, I still have my reservations on the quarterback, but kind of similar to where I thought this Bears team would have been even a year ago when Caleb Williams came in as a rookie. There's just so much talent on that offense, you know, with the running backs and the wide receivers. There's too much talent there to be bad, especially, you know, last year, because of the coaching, there was just not a stable environment there in Chicago last year. This year they've stabilized things, and they've done a really, really good job. You know, with Ben Johnson leading the way, Caleb Williams is looking like a really good quarterback, taking kind of that step, not necessarily to an elite step, but he's taken that step this year to kind of get them going. You know, you kind of glanced over it, but I think the loss of Micah Parsons to that Green Bay Packers defense is big. It's big for them, you know, going into this stretch run where, you know, we kind of had them pegged as kind of a team to really watch out for. The Lions have fallen off in that division. So it's basically a two-headed race between these two teams that are playing on Sunday night. I mean, we'll find out a lot about the Chicago Bears, you know, what they're doing. You know, it's Saturday night, but we're going to find out a lot about what they are. Are they ready for prime time? Are they ready for playoff football? They're playing a playoff opponent. I like to think that they are. Plus 1.5. I'm living and I'm dying with it. With my line of being on the Bears first. I am living and dying by this week, because if I go 0-3 this week, Manish, you ain't gonna be in the basement anymore. It's gonna be me.
Yeah, look, we'll see how it shakes out. What I'll say about the Bears is that they've lost three of their four divisional games this year, so their only divisional win is a white knuckler over the Vikings nothing really to write home about. I can't take away the fact that they've got 10 wins. I just, to me, they don't pass the eye test. Sometimes the eye test is worthless, but you know, I guess I'll learn a little bit more about them this weekend. I got a strong feeling that this is not going to be as competitive as you think.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. I hope your eye test is bet. What your eye test has bet on the Patriots all year is wrong too. When they come down to nut cutting time here in December, going to the playoffs. Manish, you got anything else you want to have before we plug this thing up?
I do. I got fantasy.
Oh, that's right. I always forget.
Oh, hey, you cannot forget. If you are like me and still alive in a couple fantasy leagues,
not me.
You're digging deep. Like if you're not, then you packed it in. You booked your flight to Aruba. I totally understand that. I might be right there with you after this weekend. But if you're still alive, I got a guy. I got two guys. I'm sorry. I got two guys. One guy's a familiar name from 3 months ago, and one guy, frankly, I never heard of until about 48 hours ago. Let's start with the guy that we all know, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. You know, the talk of the NFL fantasy football world in the preseason, we thought he was going to be the lead running back for the Commanders and take over. That didn't really materialize. But now that Chris Rodriguez is hurt, Bill gets an opportunity against the Eagles on Saturday. I fully anticipate the Eagles to destroy the Commanders, which would open the door for a lot of garbage time touches, maybe not carries, but maybe some dump offs. You know, Bill's not really known for dump offs, so maybe this will really blow up in my face. But it's too tempting. A starting running back, probably going to get the lion's share of carries, and a guy who we saw back in the summer and in early September have a little bit of potential. So again, you know, we're clearance rack shopping here, so you know, don't expect miracles. The second guy is probably the more intriguing of the two. And again, somebody I, you know, full disclosure, had never heard of prior to a couple of days ago. And that's Terwar Jordan, a second-year, sixth-round draft pick running back from the Houston Texans. He got his opportunity last week, 15 carries for 101 yards. Woody Marks is banged up again. Seems like Woody Marks kind of gets dinged up every week in some form or fashion. He's dealing with an ankle injury. Who knows how healthy he is? You're not really relying on Nick Chubb at this point. So, you know, if you're the Texans and you're, by the way, playing the Las Vegas Raiders, who are coming off their second shutout loss of the season, believe it or not, you're probably going to get a little run if you're Jordan, right? So whether that's, you know, starting or whether that's, you know, taking some of the load off of Woody Marks, if the Texans are in fact throttling the Raiders, which you would anticipate, I think there's going to be some opportunities there. If you're desperate, and a lot of guys who are still alive, you know, are desperate due to a variety of reasons, I think you could do a lot worse than Jawar Jordan or Bill. I mean, those are the guys I got. And you know, I'm frankly thinking of picking up Jordan myself. Hopefully this podcast gets released after our waiver period begins, so I don't advertise that to anybody in my leagues. But I think those guys are worth a look. You know, at this point, you know, you're not going to find a diamond in the rough, but you might find lightning in a bottle. And I think that could be the case for both of these guys.
Can I just say how frustrating fantasy football can be? Like,
yes, you can.
My guys saved their worst week for the first round of the playoffs in my dynasty league. Jahmyr Gibbs, 7.8 points in my half PPR league. Dude put up like 50 points a month ago. 7 points. Bucky Irving, nothing.
That's fantasy football, man. That's why everybody plays. That's why, you know, part of this part of fantasy football is also the best part of fantasy football because it's annoying, it's agonizing.
Well,
it's frustrating. Everybody has a story like that in some form or fashion. But then you come back the next year and you play, and it's because there's an element of luck and timing involved that makes it so entertaining.
And why did Bo Nix show up and do this on a week when I was playing Cortland Sutton and or Troy Franklin? They're both sitting on my bench, and they go off. And here I am with George Pickens out there doing who knows what. And, you know, Amika Egbuka, you know, with the Buccaneers laying an egg against the Falcons, and then Rashee Rice, you know, the KC stuff is self-explanatory. The only player on my team that showed up was Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's the only one. Everybody else decided to take the week off.
Yeah, look, I have a saying that like the best team doesn't always win your league every year. It's usually a combination of being a good team and being the luckiest team. You know, I got a good friend who's won countless titles in the league I've been in for 30 plus years. And, you know, a few of us jokingly refer to him as the luckiest man in fantasy sports because something always turns right his way in the playoffs. Maybe his opponent suffers a couple injuries the week before and he gets like a free pass and plays a depleted opponent. But that's what's fun about it. You know, the bitching, the complaining, the stories. I have stories that I share with my good friends that I've been in this league in for over 30 years, dating back to, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s. And I can remember specific things that happened during the championship week that nobody really should be wasting brain space on. But I vividly remember things happening that cost me a playoff win or cost me a championship. And these conversations kind of recycle over, you know, over time and through the decades. So that's what makes it so fun. And that's why we have a segment like this. That's why, you know, we're in leagues year in and year out. And like, if you truly had enough of it, you just wouldn't be in the league, but it's so fun. It's so entertaining. And, you know, part of the fun is the annoyance and frustration that comes at this time of the year.
I had to get that out. I had to get that out watching the scoreboard.
I feel your pain, brother.
But all right. All right. Well, I think that's another episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. Get at us on the socials. We'll be out posting clips. If you got any comments, feel free to get us in the DMs, reply to our tweets. We're here. If you got any ideas you want us to talk about, be sure to get it out there. But have yourself a great week. Go Patriots this week. We need that win.